Welcome to the School of Faith, and we're in part 11 of the Foundations of Life series, and today's lesson is on the laying on of the hands. Before Jesus was received into heaven, he told us that those that believe in the gospel and are baptized will also be able to lay hands on the sick in his name, and they will recover. The book of Acts is full of examples of the apostles using their hands with the same power that Jesus had, with many signs and wonders. Ananias laid his hands on Paul, restoring his sight. The apostles Barnabas and Paul had the power. Paul healed many by laying on of hands, and God's power is described as special miracles by the hands of Paul. When Paul laid his hands on the father Publius and healed him, others also came and were healed, so many that they were honored with many necessary provisions. James writes, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven." Jesus, in the Apocalypse, held seven stars in his right hand and laid his hand on John. Early in church history, the anointing with oil replaced much of the laying on of hands. The biblical imperative of laying on of hands is the reason given for chrismation or anointing with oil following baptism in the Orthodox Church, marking a convert with myrrh. Chrismation represents the seal of the grace-giving powers that are bestowed through the ceremony for spiritual life. The practice of laying on of hands were retained in the Middle Ages through the ceremonial functions and custom of applying relics and the prayers of healing. It has always been used for ordination or setting apart people for service. The laying on of hands was considered a sacrament and a divine mystery, a visible representation of receiving the Holy Ghost. The Wesleyan and Whitefield revivals, the Great Awakening, and the Holiness Movement saw the power and faith restored apart for more than just mere ceremony, but through the tradition laying on of hands in many instances, and by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in a dramatic fashion. Laying on of hands. This is part of that continuing series of lessons we're doing on the six foundational points of reference in this series. And laying on of hands is one of those points of reference. Let's remember this in considering laying on of hands. There are three types overall. One, imparting a blessing. Two, anointing by granting authority. Three, healing of body and soul. Laying on of hands is an act in which one person places his hand upon a person with some definite spiritual purpose. Normally, this act is accompanied by prayer or by prophetic utterance or both. Outside the sphere of religion, this act of laying on of hands is not something strange or foreign to normal human behavior. For example, in some parts of the world, when two men meet who are friends, it is normal to lay their hands on one another's shoulder. This act constitutes acknowledgement of their friendship and pleasure at meeting one another. Within the sphere of religion, the practice of laying on of hands may thus be considered an extension or an adaptation of what is basically a natural human action. As a religious act, the laying on of hands normally signifies one of three possible things. One, the person laying on of hands may thereby transmit spiritual authority or blessing to the one upon whom the hands are laid. Two, the person laying on of hands may thereby acknowledge publicly some spiritual blessing or authority already received from God by the one upon whom hands are laid. The person laying on of hands may thereby publicly commit to God for some special task or ministry the one upon whom hands are laid. In the church, we impart blessings in many ways through laying on of hands, whether it's through the waters of baptism and prayer or for the purpose of ordination or other aspects of the church service. We hand off or grant authority to the ministry, believers, etc. through the act of laying on of hands with words fitly spoken concerning the biblical call in that person's life. Let's look at Numbers 27, verses 18 through 20. So the Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand upon him. Have him stand before Eleazar, the priest, and all the congregation, and commission him in their sight. You shall give him some of your authority, so that all the congregation of the Israelites may obey." There is an impartation of authority granted here. In so many cases, the laying on of hands is a part and a factor of sacrament, a purpose of service, whatever it might be. Here in the book of Numbers, it is a common practice in the church or the Jewish faith, a commissioning of service for the Lord. Here God passes on his blessing and anointing for a defined purpose and role in his divine plan. Here it is the anointing of Joshua for the service of the Lord among the congregation of Israel, that the people would understand his place of authority and separation unto God as a surrogate for his cause. Here's another example in the Old Testament. This one coming in 2 Kings 13, 15 through 17, speaking of Elisha and Joash. Verse 15. Elisha said to him, take a bow and arrows. So he took a bow and arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, draw the bow. And he drew it. Elisha had his hands on the king's hands. Then he said, open the window to the east. And he opened it. Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. Then he said, the Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Aram. For you shall fight the Arameans in Aphek until you have made an end of them. Here Joash, king of Israel, is paying his last respects to Elisha the prophet. Elisha has Joash shoot an arrow eastward through the window, symbolizing a victory that will be gained over the Syrians. By this act of laying on of hands and prophetic promise, our God acknowledged the appointment of Joash as the leader who would bring deliverance to Israel. Now here there is an impartation of blessing as the one passed on as the next leader of Israel with God's blessing and authority or anointing towards God's place with the people of Israel in securing the victory over Syria by faith through God's servant Joash. This lets us know that sometimes more than one aspect of anointing and or impartation of graces is being related in one particular instance in the scriptures. Healing is a very important aspect of New Testament ministry and linked many times with the laying on of hands. Look at Mark 16, 17 through 18. And these signs will accompany those who believe. By using my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in other tongues. They will pick up snakes in their hands. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. A lot of people, considering spiritual churches or spirit-filled churches, make fun of the fact of this passage talking about picking up snakes in their hands and them not harming them. You have to put this back in its setting. Back in the days of Christ, traveling and laying out in the road, whatnot, and sleeping, etc., at night, because there was no hotels to stay at many times on the road, etc., or places that were safe, they'd run into snakes, and there was a word of protection being given here to those disciples who were serving God. Not that God wants us going around and playing with snakes. Now, Jesus rarely laid hands on people for the healing. Instead, he many times would just speak the word or have the believer act out their faith in his promises. However, the disciples were commissioned and advised to lay hands on the sick and believe God, and signs would follow those who believe and put their trust in Christ Jesus, as evidence in this preceding scriptural reference. James 5, 14 and 15. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will, doesn't say maybe, doesn't say I'll consider it. It says it will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Luke 4:40. As the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various kinds of diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on each of them and cured them. God's anointing and blessing by imparting the gift of the Holy Spirit baptism was quite normally received through the laying on of hands, just like the laying on of hands in these preceding scriptures considered healing. Whether it's healing, whether it's the impartation of the Holy Spirit, whether it's ordination, whatever it might be, God has this as a very important symbol in our hearts and lives to consider, and a very special anointing is upon it. Acts 8, 17 and 18. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the hands of the apostles, he offered them money. He thought this thing was so great. I've got to have this. I'll pay for it. But it wasn't something he could purchase. It was a gift from God to a vessel that was open and had asked for God's forgiveness and allowed his holiness to be a part of them. Acts 9, 17. So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. God's intent isn't just to straighten out your eyesight here, Saul. He wants to get you spiritually in tune with the force of God's grace and ordained power in your life. And so he prayed for him, and God did exactly what the man of God asked for. He healed him, and he was filled with the Spirit. It is sometimes suggested that it was only the apostles or special church officials whom were able to exercise this ministry of laying on of hands. There is no such suggestion in Acts 9:17. It only says in verse 10 that a certain disciple should meet with Saul. Yet he is directed by God himself to lay hands upon the one called Saul, so that he will find his destiny and calling of the Lord through his healing and the impartation of the Holy Spirit. Undoubtedly, the laying on of hands in the early church was a meaning of connecting the message with the messenger, or the spiritual gift with the gifted giver. It provided a sign authenticating him through whom the physical manifestation of the spiritual gift was bestowed. We need to understand very carefully that there are no magical biblical formulas for the ministry of the church. Laying on of hands has no power in itself. Laying on of hands is only used by God when it is done in agreement with God's word. Handle what God has granted us with a sense of respect and honor. Let the gift that God has granted us through the laying on of hands in whatever area of sacrament, service, or purpose be that which God can anoint and use for his glory. Remembering that he is the source of all and that we are a conduit of his message and we are used for his divine purpose. God bless you. Have a great day and be with us with the next lesson that we will be entertaining, considering the foundations of life.